Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ooh, look, it's mail for the kitty. Oh, Sprinkles, come here. You've got a delivery. Meowbox.com is a subscription crate service that is designed for our kitty friends in mind. Meowbox.com offers a selection of hand-picked tasty treats and new good foods and some fun little toys for them to enjoy. Meowbox.com donates a can of food to local animal and rescue shelters on your behalf when you sign up. A variety of different subscription options can be found at Meowbox.com, and don't forget to use promo code GEEK10 to get 10% off your first subscription. Isn't that great, Sprinkles? Mail that comes to the door, and it's just for you. Meowbox.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek's 2015 Holiday Gift Guide. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. I'm surprisingly glad...
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
To be here today. Today has been utter hell trying to get my studio back up and going. I was actually really worried I wouldn't be able to record this in time, mostly because part of my computer blew up. But hey, thanks to my lovely wife and about $70 worth of parts, we're back up and going-ish. So either way, I'm here to tell you what you should be picking up for your mom, dad, brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, cat, if you're so inclined. Lots of good stuff to talk about this year. Now, I'm going to do things a little bit differently than I have in previous years. Previous years, I've included a lot of toys and books and stuff like that. This year, I'm focusing primarily on DVD and video games, simply because that seems to be the media that I consume the most. So it's the thing I feel the most comfortable talking about this year. We've got some really cool stuff to cover here. And these things, if I'm picking them, it's because I think they're particularly interesting, they're a lot of fun to watch, or they're going to tickle a particular funny bone in you that it's probably something you should probably check out. I got things here from Anchor Bay /Stars. I got stuff from Activision. Got stuff from Bethesda, Fox, Konami, I know, but just trust me on this one. Paramount Pictures. I got stuff from Square Enix. I got some pretty cool stuff from Ubisoft, and something very unexpected from the games company, and I'm going to talk about what that is a little bit later in the show. So I guess without any further ado, I'm going to start things off here. I'm kind of reading off a list on my computer here, but we're going to start with how I've got this alphabetized on my computer. It makes sense to me. It doesn't need to make sense to you. The first thing I'm going to recommend is Fear the Walking Dead. This was a show that premiered during the summer, sort of to fill the gap between Walking Dead seasons. And this sort of serves as a prequel to what happens in the Walking Dead show, though it does not involve Rick or Michonne or anybody from the actual Walking Dead series, as that series takes place on the East Coast, more or less in Georgia or whatnot, whereas Fear the Walking Dead takes right smack dab in the middle of Los Angeles, pretty much, in the very early days of the outbreak. And It's a very short series. It's like six episodes, and it follows a family. One of them is like a drug addict. One of them's like a teacher. Another family trying to pass themselves back together because he's dating the teacher. It's a surprisingly likable cast. It's also got the guy from Predator 2, the guy that played Danny in Predator 2. He plays like this surprisingly badass barber who you really don't want to screw with. But it's a show that very much has a slow burn. And somebody, and definitely more than one person had said, is the series really necessary? In some ways, I like the setup to this better than The Walking Dead, and here's why. I like watching things fall apart. In almost every zombie movie, yeah, we see things fall apart, but it's always over the course of, like, a couple of days, or in the case of, say, Dawn of the Dead, an extended period of time, but we don't see how society reacts to it. In this, we very much get to see how things fall apart, how the military starts to panic, how people in the medical field are like, I don't know what to do with this. And these are just ordinary folks. These aren't like your Rambo types. Rick is a cop, for example. Daryl Dixon is this backwoods badass. Michonne just happens to be awesome with a sword. Here, people, they learn to use guns, and they're not always crackshot commandos right off the hop. And that's something that I really came to appreciate in this show, is you kind of see more or less how real people would react. And there's a really awesome guy that shows up in the last couple episodes who's like this really slick con man. I really, really like him, so I really hope he comes back in season two. But I really liked this show. I really did. If I did have one complaint about it, it's a little bit light on special features. You get a look at the series and inside the characters of The Walking Dead. I'm not that interested in that. Considering how much better the features are in subsequent seasons of The Walking Dead, this one I think they could have spent a little bit more on it. But it's a very young show. I'm very curious to see where things will go in the future. And ultimately, I'm really hoping that this is a great companion series and we eventually catch up to the timeline that's established in The Walking Dead and having these characters more or less go through hell to get there. All right, so the next series, this was actually a double pack that was sent to me. And you can buy this on Amazon.ca, though not on .com. And it's the Starz original series called Black Sails. The best way to describe this show would be if you remember the video game Assassin's Creed Black Flag or Assassin's Creed 4 with the pirate Edward Kenway. If they made that into a TV show, you're more or less looking at this. It's set like 20 years before Treasure Island, and it features like real life pirates like Anne Bonny, Blackbeard, Horner Gold, and so much more. The design of this series is unbelievable. Like, it looks as authentic as you possibly can get it. And it's just, it's such an incredibly badass series. And I've always thought pirates are cool, but I've never seen pirates done right outside of Johnny Depp. And even then, that's kind of goofy at the same time because it is a Disney product. Whereas Black Sails doesn't really pull any punches with it, with itself. And that's kind of what I like about it, is it's pretty awesome at showcasing the golden age of piracy, the high seas, adventure, and how brutal it can really be. And that's kind of the real appeal of this. If you think pirates are neat in any way, shape, or form, I highly recommend you check this series out. The third season, I think, starts up in the middle of January, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be checking that out when I catch up on my other shows. But I really thoroughly did enjoy this. Getting both seasons at once is pretty awesome. And the seasons are pretty short, too. I think it's like 10 episodes or something. So, Black Sails, the complete first and second season, you absolutely should be picking this up. The versions I got are Blu-ray, and you get digital HD as well. So, that is Black Flags. That comes to us from Starz via Anchor Bay. So, check that out. If you don't, I will hunt you down and kick you right in the face. Now, I'm going to kind of keep the mood going here, specifically with keeping with DVDs and Blu-rays until I get to video game stuff. So I don't want to mix and match here. If you can see my screen, that's kind of how I'm sort of doing it right now. The next series, this one, when I saw the trailers and the premise for it, I was kind of wondering how it would go. This one comes to us from Fox home entertainment, and that's The Last Man on Earth. Will Forte and Christian Schaal, and eventually more people, show up. And what this is, basically, the Earth's population has been wiped out by a virus. Something has happened. Everybody's gone. Whereas the post-apocalyptic world presented by the aforementioned Fear of the Walking Dead, Walking Dead, where there's zombies and crap, the world's just empty. It's like everybody took a lunch break and nobody came back. And there's this man named Phil Miller who's driving around the United States in this pimped-out RV just painting Alive in Tucson, where he's from. And the series kind of starts where he's going to kill himself. He's like, you know what? I'm kind of sick and lonely. And you know what? That's it. But eventually he runs into another survivor, Christian Schaal. And it's very weird just to watch how this play out over 13 episodes. And it's really, really funny. Like, Fox is a real powerhouse in when it comes to building ensemble casts. And for The Last Man on Earth, having Will Forte and Christian Schaal just play off each other, they have amazing chemistry on screen. And it's remarkably funny, and you get these little moments, that little isms will kind of pick up in your life. I've had Blair call me a skunk more than once, it's one of the isms in the show, which, like, Christian Schaal's character says to Phil Miller, or as you find out, his middle name is Tandy later. It's just, trust me. And if this series had never gone beyond the initial offering of the first season, I might have been okay with that, just how the series ends. But there's a second season now on Fox. I'm remarkably happy for this, and I'm really excited to see where this premise can go. Although, I will say this, I hope it has a definitive beginning and a definitive end. This is a show, I think, if it tells a really good self-contained story, it could be amazing. And it's not as hopeless as you might, as it might seem by the concept of it, but there's some fantastic laughs to be had here. Definitely worth checking out. I didn't expect to be as entertained as I was. In terms of special features on here, they've got some commentary, some Q&A stuff. Basically, your typical kind of fluff material, but the show here is the real star, and I really think you'll be impressed if you check this out. The next thing I want to talk about is yet another comedy, and I don't typically cover comedies because it's typically not my thing. Figure that one out. This is a series that's on ABC right now. I think it's on Tuesday nights. And it's about this family of Asian people that moves from D.C. down to Orlando, Florida. And basically, kind of playing with the idea of, like, racial kind of stereotyping. It's a Chinese guy who wants to open, like, a cowboy restaurant. And their son, Eddie, who has this really long Chinese name, but he's like, you know what, just call me Eddie. Who's a huge, like, Tupac and Biggie fan. So this is very much a, like, kind of period piece where it has the family, that's like the three kids. Eddie's the rebel. The other two kids are like, they want to please their mothers and do really good at math and basically do all the things that good kids do. This kid, not so much. The guy who plays the father is actually the guy who played Kim Jong-un in The Interview last year. Very funny guy. This show is remarkably funny, actually. And it definitely kind of fits into there seems to be a trend right now, and I think you're going to see this happen more. How would I describe this? As comedies that take place in a certain era. Like, we had that 70s show previously. We had the short-lived that 80s show. We have the Goldbergs on now, which takes place in 1980-something. This one takes place definitely in the 90s. It has a fantastic licensed soundtrack. And ultimately, like I said, the show here is the star. Special features, there's like a trivia track and a gag reel. You can kind of take it or leave it. But amazingly funny show, and I really do recommend you check this out. I think it's on Tuesday nights, 8:30 on ABC. Great show. I would love to see a crossover with this and the Goldbergs at some point. Won't happen because of the whole 90s thing. But still, a funny show. You should probably check it out. And I'm going to talk about another comedy here. This one comes to us from Paramount. And this is South Park, the complete 18th season. This season was amazing. Here's why. I'm actually going to open the case right now so I can read you some of the episodes. Some of my favorites here were The Sissy, where Cartman becomes transginger. The Magic Bush, where basically they make fun of drones and Craig's mom. I'm not going to tell you anything more than that. They take on Uber. One of my favorite episodes out of this was Freemium Isn't Free, where basically there's a Terrence and Phillip mobile game, which was developed by the Department of Mobile Gaming up here in Canada, and it's run by the Canadian Devil. And I don't know why I find that so amazingly funny, because Satan has to explain to Stan how addiction works and how Randy is an alcoholic, but he's not because he does wine tastings and chugs a beer at the same time. It's kind of ridiculous. Then they do like a whole take on Magic the Gathering, which I guess that's still a thing. And it's an episode called Cock Magic, and Randy's odd, and that's all I'm really going to say. It's just, it's really, really good. Like, this season, I think, really did a lot for the show. And for a show that's 18 years old, this show's old enough to vote now, to keep as relevant as it does. And especially now, as I record this, the season finale is going to be airing, how it's taking on the whole Donald Trump thing, the whole PC principle, and everything. So this is a fantastic season. Like I said, a lot of really good laughs. The whole thing they do with drones is amazingly funny, because I actually have some friends on Facebook who've had drones crash in their backyards, and they're like, this drone has video footage of me on it. Why? So, surprisingly topical if you follow the news in any sort of real capacity. So that comes to us once again from Paramount. Fantastically good show. Another good show, and I'm really happy with the price drop on this one, and that is Avatar: The Last Airbender, the complete series. So that's books 1, 2, and 3. This is a ridiculous price. So you get book 1 of Water, book 2 Earth, and book 3 Fire. And it's about Aang, the guy who is literally like... It's so hard to explain because a lot of the series is told in backstory. And ultimately, if you haven't watched it by now, the best way to convince you is this is a show that spawned a spinoff that you've probably seen recently called The Legend of Korra, which recently wrapped up its run. Fantastic show. This would be the precursor to that. Now, forget the fact that there was that movie by M. Night Shyamalan. That happened in a different dimension, as far as you're concerned. This takes the idea of manipulating the elements and makes it really cool. It's like martial arts mixed with, like, magic. It's unlike anything I've ever really seen before. And the fact that now you can get the complete series in one box set at such a low price is utterly fantastic. Now, this is a repack outside of some new artwork. They didn't even update the menus, but this is worth it. Even if you own books 1 and 2, picking this up is probably a good reason, because you may not want to pay the higher price to get the separate book otherwise. And you could gift the other parts to someone else. Like, and it's kind of funny how there's always this debate, is this anime? The fact that this was developed in the West, and it looks anime-ish, but it does something so different with the source material and takes itself so seriously. It's worth checking out. So that is Avatar, the complete series from Paramount and Nickelodeon. Pick this up. And when The Legend of Korra comes out, hopefully soon, you'll be able to get the complete story in one box set. That's kind of my hope for the future. Another great series that I thoroughly enjoy, if you watch my Twitter and Facebook about this, I often talk about the new Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And the Nick series is phenomenal. Great voice cast. Greg Sipes as Michelangelo, Rob Paulsen as Donatello, Jason Biggs as Leonardo, and Sean Green as Raphael. And it takes it all over the mythos and updates it. You get an updated version of Leatherhead. You get an updated version of Baxter Stockman, where he's more closer to his original character design from the 1984 comics. And then you get really cool characters like Karai, who's like Shredder's daughter. You get an updated version of the Krang. They're not Pat Fraehe's necessarily purple brain. There's only one of them. No, the Krang is an entire race now. And I think Krang Prime is voiced by Rosanna, if I'm not sure. And the fact that you can get seasons 1 and 2 in one set It's phenomenal. And it's one of the shows I didn't think too highly of it when I saw the initial previews. I thought it looked like cheap PS2 graphics. No, this series will grow on you. It's got fantastic action. It's greatly paced. The humor in it has something for everybody. Like, I'm 34 years old, and there's jokes in there for me. There's jokes in there for kids. The Playmates toy line that accompanies it is amazing and very, very, very well supported. And I can't think of a better show right now on TV, except for maybe Star Wars Rebels right now for kids. It's one of the best action cartoons I've seen in a long time. And it's probably the best incarnation of the Turtles. I really think this is better than the 2003 series or even the classic 1987 series, which, go back and watch it. It's not as good as you remember. Whereas this stuff, it's going to stay more relevant longer, I think. And the theme song sticks with you after a while. And I used to hate it too. And now I'm like, I love it. And if you could see my studio right now, I literally have the sewer lair with like 70 action figures right now. So that's how much I love this show. So seriously, check out the show. That's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the complete first and second season, coming to us from Nickelodeon and Paramount. All right, moving right along here. I'm just going to go through my pile of stuff here. Okay, I got a couple selections coming to us from Warner Brothers. And I'm going to start this one off with something I really don't even need to tell you about. I just got into this. I need to get seasons 2 through 6 now, I think it is. So I've got a while to catch up. The HBO original series, Game of Thrones. I know. Really late to the party. I'm really freaking sorry. I think Ryan told me I should have got into this like years ago. So what they sent me was the complete first season on the limited edition Steelbook. I like this for primarily one reason. You get a kick-ass fridge magnet. I know, hold on. But it's the House Stark Direwolf. That's kind of awesome. And I think the best way to sell you the Game of Thrones thing is, if you like Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder and that sort of medieval fantasy, but if you wanted to turn the fantasy down and the political drama up, that's what Game of Thrones is, despite the fact that there are still more or less like zombies and dragons in it, but it's not beating you over the head with like orcs or beholders or Feywild or anything like that. No, it's a very serious show. Peter Dinklage as, I can never pronounce his name, Tyrion Lannister. You get Sean Bean, who dies in everything. That's no big spoiler. And hey, this is where the whole Winter is Coming meme comes from. And you see how popular this show is. I think it's the most pirated show on like Pirate Bay or something like that. But seriously, buy this. It's amazingly cool. Like, the fact that I get Peter Dinklage, the girl that plays the new Sarah Connor in this, that kind of sold me enough right from the get-go. I love Emilia Clarke. Peter Dinklage, I first saw him in, I think it was Elf back in 2004. I recently saw him in Knights of Badassdom. But it wasn't until I saw Game of Thrones I really started to appreciate him. Like, guy's a powerhouse. He really is. Plus, the guy that plays the new Aquaman is in the show, Jason Momoa, I think his name is. So, yeah, like, seriously, pick this up. I think the first two seasons are available in the Steelbooks right now, and I think they each come with a magnet. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure this will be on my nerdy freezer. I got a drawing from my niece Natalie on there, and I'm going to hang that with the House Stark Direwolf. So now it's probably about 10 times more cool than it originally was. Sticking with this, coming from Warner Brothers, this is Arrow, complete third season. The defeat of Deathstroke, one of the most amazingly cool badasses in comic history, I think. Come on, Deathstroke the Terminator comes, you know, Stephen Amell's Arrow. He's kind of coming into his own. He knows what he's doing. He's literally the hero of the city. And I think everything started working here. It was a little, I wouldn't call it as a little less brooding, but it started to take its comic roots a lot more seriously. Like, you get stuff mentioning with like the Suicide Squad. You get Ray Palmer, aka Brandon Routh, the guy who played Superman in Superman Returns back in 2006. He's the Atom, and now he's going to be in Legends of Tomorrow, which comes out in like January. You get Ra's al Ghul, stuff like that. You get a crossover with The Flash with Grant Gustin. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. It's a really good show, and I really think the third season's probably the most consistent of them right now. I can't wait until season 4 comes out next year for its Blu-ray release, because John Constantine shows up. The DC Universe on TV with Arrow, The Flash, and now Legends of Tomorrow, if DC does anything right, it's television. Their movieverse, I guess after the latest trailer, you kind of have to take it or leave it there. But their television division fires on all cylinders almost all the time. So that's pretty kick-ass. Keeping with the whole superhero theme, once again, I really don't even need to sell this one to you. The Flash. This was a show I didn't know if it would work, because the last Flash we saw was in the 90s. And it was cheesy at best. The Flash here with Grant Gustin playing Barry Allen, police forensic scientist. It works. It really works. There's a fantastic cast around them, too. I wish I could remember the guy that plays Dr. Wells. But he plays an amazingly cool supporting character, because more or less it was his invention that kind of kicks off everything. I mean, as the series opens, you get the whole Flash missing crisis. So it's sort of hitting at the whole infinite crisis, multiple realities thing. You get stuff from, like, Professor Zoom shows up. You get Captain Cold. You get the Trickster with Mark Hamill. You also get future looks at other villains. You get even little ones like Plastique shows up. One of the other ones that I really like, too, is how they very much hint towards the future. Like Killer Frost, Caitlin Snow. She works with the Flash right now. When is she going to go bad? Is it going to be a multiverse version? It's one of the best superhero shows on TV, if not one of the best superhero shows ever, even more so than Arrow. And the reason I say that is it's not as cheesy as Smallville was. It doesn't need a movieverse to prop it up like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It carries itself. And me and Blair watched this, the first season. We're still trying to catch up on the second right now. And it holds your interest, because the charisma between everybody on this works. And week to week, you want to see what's going to happen. So ultimately, The Flash, a complete first season from Warner Brothers and the CW, you cannot go wrong with this. Another one that I want to recommend, this will be the last superhero show that I talk about. This one, I didn't know what to think. And this one is on Fox, once again coming to us from WB. It's Gotham. This is a show, okay, the basic premise behind this, it's Gotham before Batman. So it's Jim Gordon and his partner and the Penguin and the Riddler in their early formative years before Bruce assumes the cowl. I mean, the series starts out with the murder of the Waynes and all that happens there. You also get amazing performances from Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Robin Lord Taylor as the Penguin steals the show. He really does. The guy that plays Jim Gordon, whose name utterly escapes me right now. You know what? It's going to come to me as soon as I come off air. But a good performance there. Also, the guy that plays his partner, Bullock, guy from Batman the Animated Series, guy from the comics, and I'm pretty sure that's the guy who got his hand... I'm pretty sure he was the fat guy in Blade that got his hand cut off. Just a little bit of random trivia there, too. And it works, surprisingly. I think the first season is better than the first. The first season is better than the second one that's currently airing. I think it takes a little too many liberties. But this one, I kind of think they made a mistake having it be so far back with like Bruce Wayne. Because when you think about it, when Bruce in the show, I think, is like 9, maybe 10 years old. He's pretty young. And when you think about how old the Riddler is and how old the Penguin is, they're going to be in wheelchairs by the time he's ready to fight crime. But I don't work in television, so clearly I don't understand magic and how to work it there. But it's the performances that really sell this show. And they do hint towards things like Venom, which is the shit that makes Bane really huge. They even drop hints about the, kind of Joker, stuff like that. So, Gotham, surprisingly solid show, and I'm really curious to see where the show's going to end up by its third season. But so far, the first one's really good. Like I said, Robin Lord Taylor steals this show, hands down, without a doubt. Okay, so we're going to begin to wrap things up here on the show here, and I'm going to talk about a couple of video games and a couple of accessories you should pick up. So I reviewed some of these on Rad, so I'm not going to spend too much time on them. If you want to go back and check them out, they're available via our episode archive. Transformers Devastation, that came to us from Platinum Games and Activision. I did not think a Transformers Platinum Games would work, but these are the same guys who made Bayonetta, same guys who made, they're going to be making the new Ninja Turtles game called Mutant Melee, I think it is, or something like that, or Mutants in Manhattan, I think. And they're the guys that made Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, where you play it as like a super ninja. Optimus Prime, Wheeljack, Bumblebee, Sideswipe, and Grimlock doing more or less Mortal Kombat ninja moves. Sounds stupid, totally isn't. Actually really, really impressed with how fast-paced and fun this game is. And like you can upgrade your different characters. It's Peter Cullen doing the voice. It's Dan Gilvezan doing Bumblebee. Frank Welker's back as Megatron and Soundwave. And I think like half the Constructicons, but it's so authentic. It looks like the G1 cartoon. And that's what sold me on it. And the fact that you can rip through it really quick, I think it can be a negative and it can be a positive. I like the fact that I can rip through this game in a sitting and I'm not bored because the combat is that engaging. So I really recommend you check out this game. The next one I want to talk about, this is probably my game of the year. So I'm only going to talk it up in by saying Rise of the Tomb Raider from Square Enix, exclusively on the Xbox One. It takes everything from the 2013 or 2012 reboot of the series and makes it better. There are more puzzles. The combat is better. There are more tombs to explore. There's just, they took everything and added more to it, and the character of Laura has actually grown. They've added an overarching narrative as to why she does what she does, searching for more or less the secret of eternal life and how that ties into the death of her father. And it's really, really cool. I really had a good time with it. I'm probably 95% beat that game, and that took me probably over 30 hours with exploring and just screwing around. I really had a good time with it. The next one that I want to talk about, I've been a fan of this series for years, and I'm kind of glad that I got into it again. This one's from Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed Syndicate. This game cleaned up at the Canadian Video Game Awards, I think, for best animation, best new characters in Jacob and Edie Fry. It's Assassin's Creed meets Batman, especially with the whole like rope launcher thing. It's a really good game, and the fact that everything moves forward into Victorian London, which means that series is slowly getting closer and closer to modern day. So like you get carriages and stuff like that. There's no multiplayer, so thank God for that. It's a really likable cast, really cool story. I like how it advances the plot of Assassin's Creed and how the Assassins and Templar and the Pieces of Eden and how that all ties together. I was really kind of surprised when things were revealed at the end. I'm still very much a newbie to the Assassin's Creed world, but I'm really, really liking it. And Jacob and Evie may be coming closer to the coveted spot taken up by Shea McCormick and Edward Kenway as my two top people in the Assassin's Creed franchise. Yeah, they bumped off Connor, and I love Connor, so you should check that out. Plus, the PlayStation 4 version of this game does have exclusive missions and stuff like that, and there's going to be Assassin's Creed Chronicles coming out, I think, in April of next year. So, really looking forward to seeing where this series go, and it's better than Unity. And I liked Unity. I didn't love it, but that's the technical things speaking as well. But I did beat the main storyline, but I think Syndicate added more to it. So, that being said, my last two recommendations for this holiday gift guide, because I've taken up a lot of your time already, is Metal Gear Solid 5. This would probably be my second game of the year. Very much, very, very close to tying Lara Croft, because you can come at the situation from any way you want. Hideo Kojima's last Metal Gear game, Snake is now voiced by Kiefer Sutherland as opposed to David Hayter, and it's what kind of leads up to the Zanzibar and the Outer Heaven stuff. And that's all I really want to say about in terms of storyline. But you can approach the missions loud. You can do them all stealth. You can be friggin' Rambo. You get your own Metal Gear to walk around in. At one point, Diamond Dog is awesome. Quiet will be your like new bro, even though she's like a half-naked plant chick. But she's cool. I like her. Not just because she's a hot girl, but I think she's a really cool character. And I love the fact that she's a sniper and she's amazingly useful. And I like the fact that you can keep her recruited now. I think they patched that back in, if I'm not sure. But still, Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, amazing. Though I would recommend just getting the standard edition. The collector's edition, not so worth it, honestly. And I haven't played a lot of Metal Gear Online, honestly. But the few matches I did play were actually really fun. So it's got a great single player, great multiplayer. I think Hideo Kojima went out on a pretty solid note, so you should probably check that out. Okay, so the other game I'm going to talk about for just a minute here is Fallout 4. Do I really even need to say more than that? Bethesda's latest open-world game, and as of today, they have patched things like the infinite money glitch, much to my... But still, it's a fun game. The story, the main story, it does kind of peter out towards the end. But some of the side quests are really cool. You get to learn more about the Brotherhood of Steel. You do meet a new faction called the Railroad and how synthetics tie into the world of Fallout now. It takes place in a new Commonwealth. It takes place in the Commonwealth of Boston. So you're super close. There's a lot of familiar landmarks. Diamond City is in Wrigley. I can't remember the name of the stadium. I was going to say Wrigley Field, and I don't think that's right. You can tell how much I actually watch sports. But there's a lot of really cool, memorable characters. Plus, you can name your character Mr. Boobies, and people will call you that. You can call yourself Furiosa Fuckface, if you so desire. That's game of the year right there, but Tomb Raider's a better game. But still, you should check that out. Alright, so finally, last thing I want to recommend. This comes to us from Games. This is the Vanguard Personal Gaming Environment. So what it is, it's a gaming suitcase. It's like a gaming briefcase. It's got like a 19-inch monitor in it, which is a native 720p. I think it can upscale to 1080p on certain things. But it's got its own power supply. And all you have to do is put your Xbox One console in there, though I'm pretty sure you could use other things, though it won't be as secure. This one's meant for Xbox One. And you can bring it with you. It's got a non-reflective screen, so you're not constantly battling like lights or lamps off of it or whatever. Considering it's the holidays, this is invaluable because I will inevitably get dragged to my in-laws. And if I don't want to listen to Grandma or Grandpa tell the same story for the 90th time, I'm going to go play some Tomb Raider or maybe some Call of Duty Black Ops. And I can do it with this thing because it looks just like a briefcase. In fact, it's actually, it's very TSA friendly, so I'm not saying you want this thing whipping through the airport, but this thing can very easily go with your, like, carry-on luggage, super easy to travel with, there's, like, a strap with it. You can get these on their website, or up here in Canada, you can get them at EB Games/GameStop. They're about, I want to say, around 300-something. And I think they're worth it, because if you don't want to lug around your own personal TV and everything, you can just have this, your Astro gaming headset, which is what I use. I use my Astro A40s with this. And you've got yourself a gaming environment. And 19 inches is not exactly small either. So you have yourself, you can bring the Wasteland with you, you can bring Transformers with you, the Tomb Raider with you, whatever. I think it's worth it. So that's what I got for this year's holiday gift guide. Like I said, we got some fantastic stuff here. Highlights, I think, this year would be Avatar The Last Airbender, the complete series. That is a ridiculous value. You should be checking that out. Plus, like I said, Black Sails. If Assassin's Creed had a TV series, this would be it. And Last Man on Earth. Unexpectedly good. And Will Forte, I hope he's up for some kind of an award next year. And if I had to pick one of the superhero shows out of this episode, I might say The Flash and Ninja Turtles might be tied, all things considered, because they're both amazing shows one for adults, one for kids, but definitely both can be appreciated. So anyway, guys, that's my holiday gift guide for 2015. We are going to be having the Twig Topic Show on Star Wars coming up before The Force Awakens. And hopefully we'll have the Star Wars Terrible Warriors coming out as well. So hopefully you've got everything ready to go in your Amazon.com or .ca shopping cart with two-day shipping. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and time's running out. So happy holidays, and I'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with a shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.